Is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. President Trump this morning on his social media called the now indicted James Comey a destroyer of lives, for which he said a very big price must be paid. Comey in a video saying is innocent of the charges of lying to Congress. After Trump fired his daughter Maureen Comey, a federal prosecutor, Comey said his family has
known for years that there are costs to standing up to Donald Trump, but we couldn't imagine ourselves living any other way. We will not live on our knees, and you shouldn't either.
He's the first former senior official to face prosecution for investigating the Russian meddling in the 2016 election. Israel's prime minister addressing the UN General Assembly shortly. Monday, he'll visit the White House under pressure from President Trump to end the war in Gaza and drop plans to annex the West Bank. Trump is going to Bethpage Black today, the golf course, not to play, but to watch the Ryder Cup. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The City of La Crosse is holding public information and engagement sessions for its City Administrator Working Group. A proposed ordinance to add the position of City Administrator to the City of La Crosse will be decided upon by the La Crosse Common Council in February. The information sessions are being held on September 30th, October 6th, October 8th, and October 14th. The proposed ordinance would add a City Administrator, which would take on some of the responsibilities of the Mayor's Office. Planned Parenthood is pausing abortions in Wisconsin due to changes in federal budget law. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson.
The new law blocks facilities that provide abortions from receiving payments from Medicaid for 1 year. Stephanie Miller, a spokesperson for Planned Parenthood, says they serve about 50,000 people per year providing all kinds of health care, and three out of every five are covered by Medicaid. At first, a judge said the law could not go into effect, but as the case has moved through the court system, a federal appeals judge is allowing it to move forward. The change goes into effect next Wednesday, October 1st, and that's when Planned Parenthood will pause abortions. Miller says from there, they hope to resume services soon once they figure out what to do under this new law. Plus, she says they're working to see as many patients as possible over the next few days. The last time Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin paused abortion services was when the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade in June 2022, making Wisconsin's 1849 abortion ban the law of the land. They resumed abortion services a little over a year later when a Dane County judge ruled that the old law does not apply to consensual abortion. There are only two other clinics that provide the service in the state. They're both in Milwaukee. Data from the Society of Family Planning shows there are about 500 to 600 abortions in Wisconsin every month. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Download the free Civic Media app now at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Packers are bound for Dallas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Packers and the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football at AT&T Stadium. I asked Packers running back Josh Jacobs, what will it be like running into defensive tackle Kenny Clark, traded to Dallas in that deal for Micah Parsons?
It's definitely going to be funny going against him because I know he's going to have a little chip on his shoulder, but at the end of the day, I'm still going to tell him like I always tell him, I like me. So whenever I get a chance to go against him, it's going to be fun after the game, but between them lines, I'm going to try to give him what I got.
Brewers baseball tonight, the crew hosts the Reds. Milwaukee with a chance to secure home field advantage in the playoffs thanks to the best record in the major leagues.
You know, the guys have done a really good job, been really focused, and we talk about all the time as far as, you know, what we need to do to win, what we like about what we did before, and what we need to continue to do going forward, what we get better at. You know, that's like a constant dialogue, and we can play the game and affect the outcomes.
That's the Brewers' Christian Yelich. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 1490 WLCX.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop into the low to mid 50s. Tomorrow, more sunshine with a high right around 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Right now, it's 57.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
My problem is I don't ever eat fish fries, so when I do it, I overdo it. I ordered a large perch, ate everything on my plate, and I felt like I wanted to die. And now I don't want to eat fish again, maybe ever.
I know it's a staple to get breaded fish, but if you don't get the bread on it, you know, you can kind of get away with eating more.
I'm not trying to gain weight for football here. I'm like, I just want to have a nice meal.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Fresh off her announcement that she's running for governor, we have State Representative Francesca Hong. Hear what she has to say.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Not coming to you from the Lake Wissota studio for one more day here down in Madison Studio A2, along with producer Parker Olson. Nice to have you back here on this Friday morning. It is September 26th. And coming up, we will have Mark Jacob and Jennifer Scholze, two-thirds of our regular Week in Review panel. That's because former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel has a court thing. And apparently, Parker, these court things take precedence over goofing off on the radio with us. So
I guess if you're going to do the whole, like, uphold the law thing,
yeah,
sure.
Well, Lord knows somebody's got to. I think it also might be, and I'm not one to question Jim Santel's motivations, but it might be that he just wanted to avoid saying a bad word, because I'm sure he has some strong feelings about former FBI Director Jim Comey being charged with pretty much nothing, but being charged just for the sake of being charged. So if you want to know what exactly Jim Santel's going to say, you're going to have to tune into his show Amicus, a Law Review, tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., 9 to 11, replayed on Sunday on Civic Media stations around the state. Head to civicmedia.us to learn more. I'm going to be tuning in now just for that, just to hear his reaction on this.
I will be interested in seeing how he keeps it FCC compliant.
Well, can anything be FCC compliant? I mean, now with Brendan Carr heading the FCC, you know, the rules are whatever they say they are, and that's exactly what we're dealing with these days. Brittany Merlot is off today, getting an early start to the weekend. So I'll give you her state forecast right after I give an update from Rob in Tigerton, who says, good morning from Tigerton. It's partly cloudy and 52 degrees. Yesterday, I mowed 5 yards in Tigerton, then went for pizza at Blazer's Bar and Grill in Split Rock, which is a suburb of Tigerton. Did you know Tigerton has suburbs? Yes.
I was unaware.
Says he's got a few more lawns to mow, then off to his sister Lori's house to celebrate Lori and Dave's 39th wedding anniversary, and then they're going to have spaghetti and meatballs. Says that tomorrow is Tigerton Apple Fest, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Tigerton Community Park. And weatherwise, says he noticed that Septembers have become warmer and warmer over the years. I agree with you, but then we had that cold snap, about a week ago or so, where we were all breaking out the hoodies again.
Okay.
So
yeah.
things can kind of, you know, again, theater of seasons, I guess, is what we're what we're trying to say here. Brittany did leave us a state forecast that goes like this. High pressure holds over the weekend, bringing lots of sunshine and warming temperatures with highs hitting the 80s. So for today, around the state, she says partly sunny and nice, near 70 up north, touching 80 in the south, with a northeast wind at 5 to 10 miles an hour. For tonight, clouds will roll in. Lows tonight in the upper 40s up north to the mid-50s south, and an east wind at 5 to 10 miles an hour. And, of course, we'll have local updated forecasts throughout the course of the day on your local Civic Media station. What say we go for the green and gold over here? It's our Text to Win contest, where, again, you get to use that Civic Media app, and then we get to play funky music in the background here. So green and gold, you get a chance for cash and jewelry. Use that Civic Media app, look up a station, use the text button to send us a text message, which will be the keyword I'm about to give you. Here in the 7 a.m. hour, you have until 8 a.m. to text it. There will be 7 chances to enter throughout the day, different keywords each time. And then of all the day's entries in this multi-station, multi-state game, one lucky winner will win $200 cash and a gold-plated chain. That's the prize of the day every day. And then one really lucky winner from everybody who enters is going to get the whole enchilada. It's 2 club-level indoor seats, Green Bay versus Minnesota, playing a football game on November 23rd in Green Bay, plus a gas card to get you to the game. Total value of this grand prize is more than $1,500. You may get a return message giving you another chance to get an entry in linked to a specific activity, like signing up for a newsletter. Each activity can only be done once. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn more about the rules. If you are ready, here's the keyword to text us before 8 a.m. The word is prize. Prize, P-R-I-Z-E. Prize, P-R-I-Z-E. Text that before 8 o'clock for a chance at a daily prize and, of course, the grand prize as well. You ever notice when you have to, it's like Andy Rooney now, you ever notice when you have to spell out a word and you actually have to think about the spelling of it? It's like, who thinks of prize?
Yeah. I had to do one of those, I don't remember what the word was, but I had to do a keyword for like the Stephanie Miller show, like really quick VO for it. And I think it was family, and I could not tell if I was spelling it correctly.
It's the worst feeling, like when you're double checking yourself, you're second guessing yourself on basic spelling.
Yeah.
Like, am I getting this right? I haven't taken a spelling test since fourth grade.
Exactly.
So I don't know.
I spent years trying to figure this
stuff
out.
These things just fall out. And that, of course, is when you make a mistake, is when you overthink it. But no, prize, P-R-I-Z-E, is the text word here. Let's see. There is going to be some Green Bay football coming up this Sunday night, Packers versus the Cowboys. Coverage begins at 5 o'clock Sunday evening on stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. And, of course, there is baseball. Brewers were off yesterday, coming home for the final regular season homestand of the regular season, I should say. Coverage begins at 6:35 tonight on stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. It'll be the Brewers versus the Reds. And we do know that the Brewers have a first-round bye in the playoffs. They don't have to compete in that best-of-three wild-card thing. Thank goodness.
That's been a bit of a bugaboo.
Seems to have been. So now we'll see if having some extra days off before the divisional round is a plus to the Brewers. I mean, it can't be worse. You can't break our hearts more than, you know, going out in the wild card round.
No. So. Yeah. And it gives you a little bit of time to get hot, too. Like, a couple of guys have been really cool lately.
Yep.
This will help them maybe heat up a little bit. Sometimes you just need a good rest.
That's exactly what some of these players need, for as banged up as we've been this year. And so we'll see about that. Mike Clemens will be joining us at 8:35 to talk more about sports with us, about the Brewers and the Packers. Badger football team is off this weekend. Badger volleyball team has a match tonight here in Madison. And I didn't put the note in front of me, so I forget who it is, but it's going to be a good match regardless. Badger women's volleyball continuing their season, 7th ranked in the nation. And I want to say 7-1, I think, is their record on the season.
Yes, they are. 7-1.
Do you know who they're playing tonight?
I do know who they're playing tonight. They're playing Rutgers.
Oh, yes, Rutgers. That's right. They're opening the Big Ten season tonight. So that'll be at the field house. This has not been the best week ever for Bill Berrien, the soon-to-be former candidate for governor. That's my prediction anyway. Bill Berrien was supposed to show up at the Manitowoc County Republican Party picnic last evening. And did not. This, according to WBAY TV, he canceled. He was supposed to be the keynote speaker, but a few minutes before 6 p.m., organizers placed a call to his campaign saying, hello, are you coming? And were told Berrien would not be showing up and decided to cancel after what they described as a very rough week. The county party chair then made the announcement to the crowd inside the picnic shelter. And apparently some people applauded. Oh, no.
No.
Yes. Oh. Yeah. See, it all comes after that report by Dan Bice in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that revealed his social media footprint was a little wider, shall we say, a little more encompassing than your typical Republican family values candidate. including liking many sexually explicit articles and following a transgender porn star. And the thing is, to look at the report and what some Republican voters are saying, it's not just that it reflects poorly on Bill Berrien and, you know, his flailing gubernatorial campaign. But again, because he was so insistent on talking about family values and anti-trans issues, that this kind of hypocrisy is the kind of thing that stains other Republican candidates. There will be other people who will run on these so-called family values, in other words, anti-LGBTQ platform, who don't have a social media footprint quite like Bill Berrien's, but they will be, you know, cast in the same way as people who, you know, say one thing when maybe personally they're doing something totally different. And by the way, the trans porn star that Bill Berrien was following has now spoken up. And in a way that I think that you would expect. And let's see, the transgender porn star Jiz Lee has commented, saw all the attention. The story has apparently gotten some international attention. It's been picked up by the Daily Mail and others. Lee, who identifies as a queer, trans, non-binary adult performer and uses they, them pronouns, slammed Berrien on social media for being hypocritical. But again, listen to the statement. It's okay to follow trans porn stars. It's okay to read articles about sex and relationships, wrote the Post. What's not okay is the hypocrisy of backing forceful legislation that reflects what people, trans and otherwise, can do with their bodies. That is shameful. And that's all true, every bit of it. This is much less about judging Bill Berrien's, you know, personal tastes and web history as it is then stepping forward and speaking out against the very things you give the appearance of being a fan of. I think if we're helping appreciate more things in our politics today is that we stop expecting people to be perfect. I mean, we had like nominees for Supreme Court and Attorney General in the past who had to have their nominations withdrawn because they had once smoked marijuana in college. Okay. We've come to the point where we understand people are people. All right. Nobody's perfect. Everybody has something that they'd just as soon rather not talk about publicly, which is absolutely their right. So the problem isn't that we're expecting perfection in our candidates. The problem is we're getting too much hypocrisy in our candidates and in our politicians. And it isn't just about social media. It's about saying you're against a debt and deficits when you then approve a bill that adds another $4 trillion to the national debt. It's being a gubernatorial candidate like Congressman Tom Tiffany, who's saying, well, state law is 20 weeks, and so I'm going to uphold state law. And yet Planned Parenthood is about to temporarily halt abortion care services in Wisconsin because the big bloated boondoggle that Tom Tiffany voted for would take away funding, Medicaid funding, for Planned Parenthood to do all of the other non-abortion related health care things that they do. It's that kind of hypocrisy from our politicians that people have less of an appetite for all the time. It's saying that you're going to go after the criminal thugs and drug cartels when it comes to undocumented immigrants, and instead you're getting moms and dads who are trying to make a better life for themselves and their kids and keep them safe. These are people who want to be here legally. But these same hypocritical politicians shot down the greatest chance at comprehensive immigration reform in a generation. So, Bill Berrien, you're in good company in that you say something, but then you do something differently. The difference is, this time around, you're not going to be elected governor. Unfortunately, others have been elected president and in other important roles, and we are going to be in a world of hurt dealing with this level of hypocrisy, at least for a little while longer, you know, until the midterms. Our Week in Review panel is coming up. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Maine voters decide November 4th whether adding more ID and mail-in voting restrictions for most voters justifies preventing almost non-existent voter fraud. Question 1 tightens voter ID requirements and adds hurdles for mail-in voters, including the elderly and disabled, despite only 2 voter fraud convictions since 1982. About half of Maine's over 842,000 2024 voters used a mail-in ballot, and over 16,000 subscribed to an ongoing absentee voter list, according to the state's September 2025 figures. If approved, Question 1 would eliminate the absentee list and prohibit requesting an absentee application by phone. It also prohibits third parties from delivering absentee ballot applications, including family members, and limits drop boxes. Maine's population is the oldest in the U.S., with 21.8% of residents over 65. Question 1 also narrows Maine's voter ID options, eliminating student IDs, tribal IDs, and other currently acceptable documents, despite no evidence of abuse. At almost 75%, Maine consistently has one of the highest voter turnouts in the country, and the Heritage Foundation's own figures show just 2 convictions for voter fraud in over 40 years. We have the text of Question 1 at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Are you looking for ways to give back to your local community? Use VolunteerWisconsin.org to find opportunities to volunteer your time with organizations making a difference near you as we celebrate United Ways Month. We're also celebrating you. Visit VolunteerWisconsin.org or get in touch with your local United Way or Volunteer Center to find out more about local opportunities to get involved. VolunteerWisconsin.org is hosted by United Way of Wisconsin and Serve Wisconsin. Paid for by United Way of Wisconsin.
Did you know 1 out of 5 adults worry about their mental health? It's Suicide Prevention Month, and talking saves lives. Call 988 anytime for support. A message from the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Brewers baseball coming up tonight. It'll be the Brewers versus the Cincinnati Reds. Pregame begins at 6:35 on several Civic Media stations. Head over to civicmedia.us if you'd like to learn more. All right, we've got 2/3 of our Week in Review panel joining us now. That would be Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze, a couple of veteran Chicago area journalists joining us. Former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel has to be in court today because we've got to have at least one honest lawyer left in the courtrooms after what we've seen this week.
Is he being a defendant or is he?
Well, he did not say. And honestly, I'm a little concerned because of the way things have gone this week. Let's see. Let's start with the indictment of Jim Comey and the old law school saying you can indict a ham sandwich. Anybody can get an indictment. It's a conviction. That's a whole different matter. And one of the things I was hearing about how this indictment against the former FBI director, which is, loose at best, and was done entirely by one political appointee, who's never tried a case, and that there no career prosecutors worked on this whatsoever. Mark, if ever there were, Exhibit A in the weaponization of the American justice system, what happened yesterday would be it.
Yeah, it really should alarm everyone. Trump's own prosecutor said there was no case. Should have been the end of it. But really, Trump shouldn't have been involved at all. If you remember, there was a big to-do when Bill Clinton and Loretta Lynch had a little meeting on the tarmac. What's he doing talking to the attorney general? Well, in this case, Trump is openly announcing that he wants somebody charged with a crime. And, the person in charge of that says there's no case here. He forces that person out and he appoints this, insurance lawyer from Colorado to who's never prosecuted anyone for anything to, charge the former FBI director. And they also, Pat, they really didn't indict a ham sandwich. They indicted two-thirds of a ham sandwich.
Yes.
Because,
yeah.
Because there was a third mysterious charge that the grand jury actually refused to indict.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just how flimsy these things are. And yet, I'm glad you mentioned Bill Clinton, you know, actually seen talking to his attorney general. And, I mean, that was, you talk about your tan suit scandal, Jennifer, in retrospect. And yet now what you get is a New York Times headline today, Trump gets the retribution he sought and shatters Justice Department norms. So when he does all that he's doing, he's simply shattering norms. I would think that the headlines, if I were the editor, might say something a little different, and maybe for you too.
I think the use of the word norms is officially overdone.
Yes.
But it is a go-to for the New York Times, which does not generally state the facts as clearly as it should. And frankly, most of the news stories do very clearly talk about, in this case and in others, you know, how unusual, how potentially illegal, how all of those things are usually in the news stories that the New York Times does on these various Trump things. But the headlines are always a little squishy, which is a problem. You know, I had a problem yesterday with the leaving out the part about that the prosecutors had refused to bring the charges, you know, charges against Comey. And then in the story, I think the key part is the charges that the other prosecutors refused to do it. And I think that should be upfront in talking about all this. I do think, though, generally the press coverage of this particular thing has been really good.
Well, and we do have to keep in mind that sometimes things are better described in hindsight. I don't know exactly, Mark, when the term Saturday Night Massacre was coined. I don't think it was that Saturday night. So it might take a little while. But when I heard somebody this morning describe this as the Saturday Night Massacre of our era, in going after a former FBI director simply for political retribution, I see exactly why they would say something like that. And I think that in hindsight, people will really appreciate what kind of a line we have crossed here.
Yeah. And the scary thing is that this is not a one-off. I mean, you know, also in the last day or two, you know, a member of the Justice Department ordered prosecutors in various cities to go after George Soros's foundation, you know, so, and they also, was an order issued yesterday by Trump, saying that, you know, in effect, saying that all leftist organizations need to be looked at for possible domestic terrorism. I mean, this is maybe the start of this legal retribution, but it's not the end of it at all. And you know, we may forget about Comey in 2 or 3 months because even worse things will happen. I mean, this is, people need to be so alarmed by what's happening now. This is not one of those things where, well, I don't know how it's going to turn out. No, this is going in a really clear direction, and it should scare the hell out of all of us.
Yeah, until some people stand up and call it out for what it is, Jennifer. And in you know, in my case, I am equating it to a new Red Scare. What the way that communist was thrown out at people left and right is, I think, domestic terrorism is the phrase that you're hearing from Derek Van Orden and others now, calling people domestic terrorists for having, you know, the temerity to criticize a current administration. I don't think Red Scare is overhyping it when we look back at this time.
No, I don't either. And, you know, part of the burden is going to be on what's left of the mainstream media, but also everybody else, in pushing back and helping define all of these things, you know, pointing out exactly what's wrong, how this isn't about norms, this is about something much larger, and sticking with it and doing it every day, being as vigilant and diligent as the right is when they're hammering a point.
That's right. Jennifer Schulze and Mark Jacob are here. And when we come back, we'll continue our talk about some of the headlines of the week. And I'll remind you again that in our Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest, you've got to text us the word prize before 8 a.m. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 1490 WLCX. No artificial dyes. How can Wisconsin food manufacturers get around it? I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Thursday. One ice cream maker in Chautauqua never had artificial dyes. His story next.
From sugar beet fields to dairy facilities, producers count on an operating line of credit from Ag Country Farm Credit Services to help make their operations more profitable. With multi-year commitment options, digital tools and remote deposit, and the ability to only borrow what you need when you need it, our operating line of credit makes financing your needs easier. Visit agcountry.com/lineofcredit or call 800-450-9858 to learn more. Terms apply. See website for details.
Alan Kirshner from Kirshner Super Premium Ice Creams in Chautauqua has only been in business about a year. But from the very beginning, he decided they were not going to use artificial dyes at all.
We're the only ice cream shop in Wisconsin that has never used artificial dyes. So from the very beginning, that was before the national conversation on artificial dyes. We were doing it. We also don't use carrageenan. It's a kind of it's red seaweed. It's a cheap stabilizer that's virtually in almost all ice cream. That's why a lot of people, after they eat ice cream, after 20 minutes, their gut kind of irritates them. That's not may not necessarily be the dairy, but it typically is that carrageenan. We don't use that, so we're carrageenan free.
That's Alan Kirshner, owner, operator, and founder of Kirshner's Super Premium Ice Cream in Chautauqua. His dedication to a clean label on his super premium ice cream catapulted him to the grand champion spot of the World Dairy Expo Championship Dairy Product Contest in the category of ice cream, sherbet, frozen yogurt, and gelato. He'll be in Madison at World Dairy Expo on Monday to receive the award for his peanut butter chocolate ice cream.
BioVet combines the latest research and technology to develop high-quality microbial and nutritional solutions for your operation. BioVet's innovative product line supports the immune system, digestive function, reproduction, along with growth and development of your livestock. Learn more at bio-vet.com and visit us at World Dairy Expo booth number EH1503 and 1504. EH1503 and 1504.
Innovation.
And keeping it dairy, the Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association announced four exceptional dairy processors that have earned their inaugural Member Impact Awards. They include Organic Valley Crop Cooperative as Advocate of the Year, Masters Gallery Foods, the Employer of the Year, AgriPort Sustainable Stewardship Award, and Nasonville Dairy, the Culture of Excellence Award. Those awards will be presented October 21st. That's literally food news on a Thursday. I'm Pam Yonke.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop into the low to mid 50s. Tomorrow, more sunshine with a high right around 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Right now, it's 57.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, time for a little recombobulation with Civic Media's political editor Dan Schaefer joins us. I hope you will too.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
right, this is day five of our two-week Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest at Civic Media. Use that Civic Media app and the text feature to text us a keyword seven different times throughout the course of the day. Seven different ways to enter for a daily prize of cash and jewelry and a grand prize of tickets to see Green Bay versus Minnesota play in Green Bay. The keyword for this hour is prize, P-R-I-Z-E, prize. Text that before 8 o'clock, and then your next chance to enter and potentially win will be with Matt Nair on Air, Jane and Greg, coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Chicago veteran journalist Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze are here. Former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel is off doing, you know, court stuff, you know, justice. Somebody's got to be looking out for us there in what has become an increasingly politicized government, including justice as well. When you have like the former FBI director now facing a trumped up criminal charge, going after other, you know, basically just political enemies without any kind of basis. And then comedians, I mean, late night comedians. And Mark, I'm trying to determine whether I'm, you know, overreacting or if I'm capturing the barometer in saying that as outrageous as it was that Jimmy Kimmel was taken off the air, the fact that ABC put him back on in less than a week gives me reason to think that the network and others are aware that this attempt at state-controlled media can overreach.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really good sign. And it should tell us that, unfortunately, the only thing that these big corporations care about is money, money, money. So when you start, you know, canceling Disney Plus or you, you know, take other actions to hurt them in the pocketbook, they're going to react. I don't think they didn't put Kimmel back on the air because they thought they made a mistake. I think they thought they'd made a business mistake, not, you know, a moral mistake. And so it's good news they brought him back. Now, still those, you know, the some of the stations don't air it because they're still being pressured by the FCC. And Brendan Carr is talking about going after The View next. So he's not finished trying to, you know, censor, you know, American media. He sees it as his job. But pushback is really important. If support the people who are doing a good job, cancel people who are doing a bad job. That's just got to be the way it is in today's world.
And so that ties in, I would imagine, to Stop the Presses this week, your newsletter that you can get at stopthepresses.news or couriernewsroom.com. The headline, "Can Comedy Help Conquer Fascism? Loudly Mocking Trump Now May Help Us Avoid Whisper Jokes Later." We never think of America as a place where we could only tell jokes in a whisper. And you're reminding us that we're not immune to that possibility.
Yeah. I wrote this version of the newsletter because my wife and I were talking about it, and I think comedy is really a good way to assault, you know, bad actors in politics, because you know, verbally assault them. Because I feel like some people who don't really care about politics and don't know much about politics and actively try to avoid the news are exposed to it by these comedy shows. And so Colbert and Kimmel and John Oliver and shows like that, I think, have a real place. Now, on the other hand, my wife thinks that's not true at all. She thinks that it's a bad thing because it trivializes and normalizes the behavior, and that it makes people think this is all just part of the show and it doesn't matter much anymore. And so I think there's a middle ground there, and I try to get into it in this this newsletter. And I did, you know, I read history books also, so I got back into the history of what they call whisper jokes, which is what they, in Nazi Germany, when people, you know, whispered jokes because they couldn't tell them out loud without getting arrested, you know. And so we don't want that in this country. We don't want people to only be able to say funny things, you know, in the privacy of their own bedrooms.
Yeah. And I see the truth in both ways of looking at that. And Jennifer, the way I'd throw it to you is this way. I was noticing a New York Times headline. The headline is "Late Night Investigates Trump's Claims of Escalator Sabotage." Famously, the escalator, you know, was broken in the middle of Trump riding it at the United Nations. And, you know, that's the subject of late night jokes. Okay, fine. But when I first saw the headline, I thought, can we not trivialize this stuff? There's some big serious stuff going on here. So, you know, that's what, you know, Mark's wife is saying. But I feel like, yeah, you actually do have to strike a balance between the two in your overall coverage of the times that we live in?
Well, I'm all for the all of the above coverage. I think that talking about politics on comedy is essential, and it is the gateway for a lot of people, as Mark said, who do not use other sources of information for political news, in fact, actively avoid it. So I'm all for them doing it. I think it's great. And I would venture to say that more people are going to find out about this absurd UN sabotage claim from Stephen Colbert than any serious news source. And so that's okay. The other thing I want to say, though, is these giant companies that own these local television stations are a big problem. And it's not, you know, they own them. If they don't want to run Jimmy Kimmel, that's a business decision. But they are already too big and they want to be bigger. Together, Sinclair and Nexstar own half of the local television stations in America. And the Trump administration is soon going to let them own more of them. And the problem with that is just that they're decimating the actual local news, and they have too much power and too much say over something that they shouldn't be that involved with, frankly. I think the 39% cap is reasonable, and going over it is not okay.
And it seems just so quaint, the times when I was growing up, when the limit was seven. You could own seven TV,
right.
7 a.m., and 7 FM.
Yeah.
And that was it. And when we saw this deregulation come, you know, there were those of us saying, this may not end well. We didn't foresee it being quite like this, but this is where we are now, including, Jennifer, a government that, if the defense secretary has his way, basically is going to make journalists sign some kind of a loyalty pledge or oath if they want to cover the Pentagon. What's that about?
Well, it's absolutely terrifying, honestly. I'm not sure I know of any time in history, and Mark's the history guy, so maybe he does, where the U.S. government has basically said, we're going to write your stories for you. You can't write a story without our approval. That's what they are saying with this pledge, that these reporters at the Pentagon are being required to sign if they want to continue to cover the Defense Department. They have till September 30th to either sign this agreement that they will allow the they will only publish information that is approved by the Defense Department. That's not journalism.
No.
It's just not journalism. So it'll be really interesting to see where this goes. If anybody actually signs it, I say, turn in your press pass, you're done. You're not a journalist anymore.
Absolutely. And in a related note, Mark, one of the things that people would probably want to report about is that the defense secretary has summoned top military leaders from around the globe, wherever they are stationed, to come back to the U.S., to come back to the D.C. area, to Quantico, for a meeting. And, I mean, I thought about titling this episode, this meeting could have been an email, because I can't imagine anything.
Right. Well,
you know,
it could have been a Zoom meeting.
It could have been a Zoom. And yet all these people, I think about the millions of dollars in transportation costs, everybody getting on airplanes to get here, and the security and putting them up and feeding them and all that to tell them something that could only be told in person. Again, in a normal time, Mark, and or if a Democratic president were doing this, that would actually be the story right now.
Yeah, it was, you know, I watch Turner Classic Movies sometimes, and I watched 7 Days in May the other day, which is in the 1960s, is a movie about a military coup in the United States. And I'm not saying that's what's going on now, but we don't know what's going on now with Hegseth. And he's capable of a lot. I mean, obviously, he, you know, I feel like that the reason that Trump picked him for defense secretary, or war secretary, as stupidly they call it now, is because he's willing to do just about anything that Trump wants, including, you know, order the people to fire on American citizens, you know, to occupy American cities. So I feel like there's sort of an ominous tone to this meeting next week, and we have no idea what it is. Well, you know, maybe he's, you know, somebody joked on social media, maybe he just wants to organize a nicer parade next time for the military.
It could be.
But, you know, and I don't want to be alarmist, but these people are capable of a lot of terrible things. They've already doing a lot of terrible things.
And also, not just in the present, But looking back at the past, and Mark, maybe I'll start with you from a historical standpoint, that Pete Hegseth is making clear now that 20 soldiers who received the Medal of Honor for their actions in 1890 at Wounded Knee, which many regard as a massacre, made clear they will keep their Medals of Honor. Hegseth's predecessor, Lloyd Austin, ordered a review of the medals last year as part of a congressional bill. Because, again, this was something back at the time when an estimated 250 Native Americans, including many women and children of the Lakota Sioux, were killed attempting to disarm Native American fighters who, it turned out, had already surrendered at their camp. This is hardly Medal of Honor stuff here, Mark, and yet Pete Hegseth is taking time out of his busy day to say that, well, they might have been a massacre, they might have been butchers, but, you know, we're not going to do anything about it. They're, how did he put it, American heroes or whatever, and they're going to keep their medals. This is the kind of thing where people go, oh, they're teaching us to hate history. It's not about hating history. It's about honestly telling history and kind of hating the present.
Right. Well, it's also respecting the idea of facts and learning from it. That's what history is for, is to learn from it and do better next time. And whenever someone says, well, history isn't important, you know, why are you getting into that? Obviously, Pete Hegseth thinks history is important because he wants to cover it up. And, the reason they want to cover up the bad deeds of the past, the racism and all this other stuff, is because they want to do it again. And they don't want any lessons learned, and Pete Hegseth, when he was at Fox News, was a big campaigner for letting off these soldiers in Iraq who were doing war crimes, and they were clearly doing war crimes, like just shooting, unarmed civilians and stuff like that. And Hegseth was successful in having Trump, let them off. And so really he's pro atrocity. He's fine with the U.S. Army doing whatever it wants to do in war. And, and you see this with like blowing up boats in international waters today. So they're running roughshod, and he wants more of that. And he wants to cover up the past.
And Jennifer, it's all about, again, this whole notion of there's so many plates to keep spinning right now that, it's tough for any single newsroom to do an honest accounting of a story like this when there's so much more going on. And yet it doesn't make the story any less important.
Right. Well, I mean, we're all in the business of keeping track of information. And I don't know about you guys, but I can't do it. So I can't imagine what it's like for people who aren't like us, right, in this business, because it is impossible. I think, though, generally, there is clearly a sense in the country that Trump is doing really bad stuff and Americans do not like it. The polling, time and time again, it's just cratering on everything. So even if the very specific things might not be getting what we would all think would be enough coverage, the notion that he's doing bad stuff and not helping people and prices are still too high is breaking through in a very big way.
That's Jennifer.
Whether it translates at the ballot box is another question.
Jennifer, I got to hit break. Hold that thought. And again, we'll be back. I'm Pat Kreitlow, the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Are unauthorized immigrants eligible for federal Medicaid coverage? No. Unauthorized immigrants are not eligible for traditional federally funded Medicaid health insurance and never have been. A 1996 law also requires most authorized immigrants to wait 5 years for eligibility. 14 states, not including Wisconsin, use state funds to cover unauthorized immigrants. President Trump has proposed cutting federal Medicaid funds to those states, which could drop 1.4 million people from health care coverage. In Wisconsin, Medicaid covers 1.28 million people at a cost of $12.1 billion. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Step right up. Circus history is alive in Wisconsin.
The circus would come to town and whole cities would shut down. There wouldn't be school, the stores would be closed because everybody would go to the circus.
A big part of the circus, the wagons, and now what's believed to be the last bell wagon anywhere is at Circus World in Baraboo. Commissioned by the Ringlings in 1892, this 10,000-pound rolling musical instrument was the crown jewel of the circus parades.
There's parade wagons. Circus parades would happen to get people excited to come see the circus. And so those are the very ornamented ones, lots of carving.
That's Jennifer Kronk. She's the curator of history at Circus World. Three other unique wagons owned by Felt Entertainment in Florida are also on loan for the next couple of years. It's a slice of Wisconsin and circus history right here, where you can relive the glory of the parade and echo of the bells calling you to the big top. I'm Terry Barr.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Less than 7 minutes remain to text us the word prize, P-R-I-Z-E. Text that using the Civic Media app as part of our Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. You could win a daily prize of cash and jewelry or the grand prize of tickets to see Green Bay play Minnesota. Play a little football in Green Bay come November with some great indoor seats. So again, prize before 8 o'clock. Your next chance to win is during the 9 o'clock hour. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is joining us in our 8 o'clock hour. We've got several things in the news to cover once again in terms of women's reproductive health rights. And then Mike Clemens will take us into the weekend talking a little sports, a little Brewers, a little Packers, and more. But for the last bit of this hour, back with Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze talking about some of the headlines of the past week. And who's going to do the headlines in the future? For example, Jennifer, 60 Minutes ends its summer hiatus and is coming back with, I'm sure, the hard-hitting, independent journalism that 60 Minutes has been known for lo these many decades, or not.
So this will be 60 Minutes' first season with new owner David Ellison, you know, the right-wing owner of Paramount Skydance or Skydance Paramount, who has already agreed to put a government or a minder in the CBS newsroom to make sure that there isn't too much or no anti-Trump content. And, you know, did this deal with the FCC to get this merger approved. We now see, as the 60 Minutes PR trickles out, that when they come back on Sunday, after having, I believe, 4 or 5 months to put together a lot of stories, they'll have a profile of Dana White. That is the head of the UFC, you know, that fighting group that Trump is letting do a spectacle at the White House for the 250th anniversary of the country, and also very close friend of Donald Trump's, also very right wing. And, you know, so that's an interesting choice. But in addition to that, they're also doing a profile on the governor of Utah, Spencer Cox, who is also a pro Trump guy. Now, I think I understand the Spencer Cox story because you know, he's been in the news a lot lately. But the combination of those two stories seems a little bit unbalanced to me, and I think is not a good look for 60 Minutes. I want to also point out that last week, when they're doing reruns, the rerun that they led the show with was a feature on Barry Weiss's faux university in Austin, Texas. So I think overall, that paints a questionable picture about where 60 Minutes... No, it's not questionable at all. It's clear to me that they're going right.
Are we on Mark going to have to do a special edition just for you and Jennifer and I and others to engage in primal scream therapy based on whatever we see 60 Minutes turn into?
Yeah, it's just kind of sad that you know, this storied program has been conquered, really, and that's what it is, and only for money. I mean, for CBS, you know, not, you know, deciding that they just wanted to just roll over. You know, they did the same thing with their Sunday show, where they, you know, Christy Noem complained about them, and they you know, they just decided, okay, well, we won't edit anymore. We'll just, you know, let anyone lie on the air, and we'll broadcast it. You know, we're seeing this with corporate media. And this is why, you know, I always like to say, there's good media out there. There's ProPublica, there's The Guardian. There are a lot of independent and nonprofit outlets that are actually trying to do a good job. And so for these big conglomerates, these big giant corporations, they're not. They're just trying to make a bunch of money. And so it seems like you don't have to trust them. You can trust other people who have, you know, more journalistic standards.
Yeah. Let's switch gears over to the potential for a government shutdown next week. Congress has been off this week, so they only have like 2 business days tops to reach some kind of a deal. Jennifer, it's clear that there's no interest on the part of Republicans and the president to reach any kind of a deal. They want a shutdown. They want to make the shutdown even worse by adding extra firings. And this only reaffirms the note that, you know, they say, well, Trump is taking federal workers hostage and he's taking, you know, the country hostage. Trump always shoots the hostage. He always does. And then it's a matter of how much do you let the hostage bleed before Democrats have to cave and go, okay, we'll let you do all the other bad things you want to get away with through all these massive cuts to health care and things like that. So for me, the question isn't, is there going to be a shutdown? It's going to be, can Democrats hold united so that public pressure comes down on Trump and the Republicans? Because Trump has caved previously over shutdowns and things like that.
I think the fact of whether there's a shutdown or not is one thing. The narrative behind it all and the media's role in spreading that narrative is really critical. For example, I like lose my hair stands on end every time I see a headline that says Congress did this, right, when it's Republicans did this. And I would just beg all media to be specific. Republicans are saying this. Republicans did this, and not make it generic. And that's part of the problem. You know, it's a narrative fight as much as anything else. Who's going to get blamed?
Yes.
Well, I think we have to be absolutely crystal clear about what role different parties are playing.
Yeah. Mark, your thoughts on what Democrats will do once this thing really starts to take hold?
I think that maybe they learned something from the last time and that they will not cave. And let's look at, you know, the three branches of government are controlled by the Republicans. So how are they going to blame the Democrats for this?
They're going to do it anyway.
Yeah, I know they will, but it doesn't stand up to any reason.
No.
No.
It doesn't. But again, it's much less a battle of votes or dollars as it is about narratives and messaging starting next week or even starting now, frankly. Yeah. You can read Mark Jacobs' newsletter at stopthepresses.news or at couriernewsroom.com. You can read Indistinct Chatter from Jennifer Scholze. Head over to Substack, search for @newsjennifer. And Jim Santel is off this week, but you can always catch him on Amicus, a law review tomorrow morning starting at 9. Thanks to all of you. Mark, we'll see you in a couple of weeks. And Jen, we'll see you next week. All right. Thank you.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
Kristen Lierley is coming up next. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. The destroyer of lives is how President Trump this morning characterizes James Comey, hours after Trump's handpicked U.S. attorney brought charges. ABC's Pierre Thomas.
In the indictment, Comey is accused of lying about whether he authorized the leak to the press, of lying to the Senate Judiciary Committee. But Comey firing back.
My family and I have known for years that there are costs to standing up to Donald Trump.
Shares of some major furniture companies are set to open lower this morning. Here's why. President Trump is hitting foreign manufacturers with 50% tariffs on kitchen cabinets and bathroom vanities, 30% on upholstered furniture, 25% on heavy trucks starting Wednesday. Pharmaceuticals made outside the U.S. face new tariffs of 100%. Interpol arresting hundreds throughout Africa for romance scams, building online relationships to extract money. So much for that Nigerian prince. This is ABC News.